The next day started out refreshingly devoid of great events, new people, and astonishing revelations. We got up slowly in the cold, lighted the stove, heated up some rations, and got on the road. Craig was happy. It was not in his nature to be that way, but he was happy here and now, strutting all over the place, telling us the best way to pack our bedrolls, and attending to every detail of the camp stove as if it were a nuclear reactor. But he was much easier to be around in such circumstances, where he actually had something to do with all of his energies. I decided that he was too intelligent for his circumstances and that he had missed an opportunity to be an avowed. If he had been born among the slines, he'd have ended up on a constant. Instead, he had landed among a sect that valued his brains too much to let him go. But his brains had no purpose there. Anyway, he was used to being the only smart person within 100 miles, and now that he had been thrown together with other smart people, he didn't know how to behave. Saman was badly out of his element. He could hardly pick up anything on his jija, but he managed well, as if prolonged suffering were a standard part of the Ida toolkit. He had a shoulder bag that was for him what Cord's vest was for her, and he kept pulling out useful tools and gadgets. Or so it seemed to me, as I was not used to owning things. Cord was quiet, unless I looked at her, whereupon she'd become grumpy. I was bored and impatient. When we finally got going again, I guessed it must be about midday, but according to the clock and Cord's fetch, midday was not for another 3 hours. We went up into the mountains. This was new to me. Any travel would have been new to me. When I'd been a kid, before I'd been collected, I'd left town a few times, tagging along on trips that my elders made to visit friends or kin in the near country. After I'd joined the consent, of course, I hadn't traveled at all, and I hadn't missed it. I hadn't known what there was to miss. Up in those hills and mountains, seeing natural leads of open space through the forest, pale green meadows, old logging roads, abandoned fortresses, decrepit cabins, and collapsed palaces, I began to think of these as places I might go, if I had the time to stop and go for a walk. In that way, the landscape was altogether different from the consent, all of whose paths had been trodden for thousands of years, and where going into the cellar of Shuf's Dalmant seemed intrepid. It made me wonder where my mind might ramble, and where events might take me, now that circumstances had forced me to leave the consent and venture into such places. Cord changed the music. The popular songs she had been playing the previous days felt wrong here. Their beautiful parts did not stand comparison with what we could see out the windows, and their coarse parts jarred. She owned a recording of the music of the consent, which we sold in the market outside the day gate alongside our honey and our mead. She started playing random selections from it, beginning with a lament for the third sack. To Cord, this was just selection number 37. To me, it was just about the most powerful piece of music we had. We sang it only once a year at the end of a week spent fasting and reciting the names of the dead and the titles of the books burned. Somehow the feeling was right. If the cousins turned out to be hostile, they might sack the world. We came around a turn and were confronted by a wall of purple stone that went up until it disappeared in a cloud layer a mile above our heads. It must have stood there for 1,000,000 years. Seeing it while I heard the lament, I felt what I can only describe as patriotism for my planet. Until this moment in history, there had never been any call for such feelings because there had never been anything beyond Arb except for points of light in the sky. Now that had changed, and instead of thinking of myself as a member of the Provener team or of the Decenarian Math or of the Edharian Order, I felt like a citizen of the world, and I was proud to be doing my little bit to protect it. I was comfortable being a feral. Casinos and spielies weren't the only new experiences you had when you went extramuros. Even if you traveled solo and stuck to the wild places, even if you never saw a strip mall or heard a word of Fluckish, you were getting information, not about the secular world, but about the world that had been there before it. The ground state that cultures and civilizations emerged from and collapsed back into. The wellsprings of the secular, but also of the mathic world. The origin where, 7,000 years ago, those worlds had diverged.